Amen. Let the church say amen. Church say amen again. Give it up for the Shiloh Men's Chorus. Aren't they awesome? Amen. I missed the red and black memo today, gentlemen, so I'll make sure I get it next time. Amen. Amen. But we are grateful for them. They lift up the name of the Lord. How many of you know it's a good thing when men lift up Jesus' name? Y'all didn't really agree with me on that. It's a good thing when men lift up the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. And I just take it a little bit step further. It's a good thing when black men lift up the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So we bless the Lord for our men's chorus. Why don't you stand to your feet and let's hear what God has to say for us and to us this morning. We want to welcome all of our visitors again, and particularly those family members who are here to support these candidates for baptism. We are excited for them and looking forward to sharing in this wonderful opportunity and experience with them on their road to greater Christian growth. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. Excuse me, the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 18. The book of Exodus, chapter 18. And I want to read a few verses out of that 18th chapter of the book of Exodus. Say amen. You're located for text.
Amen.
Y'all pray. We're doing Father's Day Beach Tournament at Seaside Heights today. Soccer, for those who don't know what I'm talking about. So we had two games yesterday and one game today at 1 o'clock. And I'm going to see if Lord can lift me on angel's wings to get me from 11 o'clock service to the 1 o'clock game in Seaside Heights. God is able. Say, won't he do it?
Won't he do it?
I said he's done it before, so I know he can do it. Amen. Exodus chapter 18, verse number 1. The Bible reads, "And Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt." Go to verse number 9. "Then Jethro rejoiced for all the good which the Lord had done for Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, 'Blessed be the Lord who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and who has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods, for in the very thing in which they behaved proudly, he was above them all.' Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and other sacrifices to offer to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. And so it was on the next day that Moses set to judge the people. And the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. So when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, 'What is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit and all the people stand before you from morning until evening?'" Jethro, go to verse 17. "And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, said to him, 'The thing that you do is not good.'" Go over to verse number 21. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all times. Then it will be that every great matter that they shall bring to you, but every small matter they themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you. Verse 23, if you do this thing, God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, Moses, and all this people will also go to their place in shalom, in peace. Here ends the reading of God's divine word, may edify and sanctify God's people. Would that you pray with me, beloved, on the title of today's sermon. Thank God for fatherly advice. Thank God for fatherly advice. Let's pray together. Father, I pray on this Father's Day that you would indeed bless these, your people. I pray that everybody would be touched, everybody would be convicted, and somebody would be saved. Holy Ghost, let the Holy Spirit, let your anointing fall fresh. We shall give you the glory, praise, and honor, O God, for you alone are worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name, we do pray that the people of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you and God keep you, beloved. Ushers, you may be seated as well. I want to, first of all, acknowledge the men of our church, those who serve as fathers, whether you are biologically related to an offspring or whether you have adopted that offspring into your care. I want to ask all the fathers to please stand on this Father's Day because we are grateful for you and we want to honor you. Let's give the men, the fathers, the grandfathers, the uncles, a big hand of encouragement, ladies. To God be the glory. And so, men, I salute you. We thank God for you. And we pray God's continued blessings upon you as you do what God has called you to do. On this Father's Day, I want to talk about Moses' father-in-law, Jethro. I have a funny story to tell about my own father-in-law, and God bless him. He passed on from labor to reward in 2003. Many of you know that about 3 months after Melanie and I married, her mother passed from pancreatic cancer. And about 3 months after that, her father passed, from what I say was a broken heart. They had been married some 40 plus years, and we're grateful for the time that I spent with my mother-in-law, the late Virginia Pinckney, and my father-in-law, the late Roland Pinckney Sr. So the funny story goes, when I was prayerful about asking Melanie's hand in marriage, we had been looking at rings, and I said, I'm not going to look at no more rings. I'm going to go make you a ring. So I'm from San Francisco. They got some great jewelers in San Francisco. And so I went out and told my man what I wanted and how I wanted it and wanted the carrot to be floating above a river of carrots underneath. And that's right. I was bad. I got my own personal design of an engagement ring. And so so the ring was being made in San Francisco. I'm here in New Jersey. So I called up Mr. Pinckney, sir, can I come meet with you at the house? And he was said, sure, come on over. And mother-in-law, I told her what I was about to ask. I'd already asked her. Now the big question, asked the daddy. And so he was inside the house painting. And I walked, knocked on the door. He said, come in. I walked in, and he was painting. He didn't turn around and say anything. I think he might have a clue about why I'm here. And so he just kept painting, and I said, sir, I'm here to, after a little small talk, sir, I'm here to ask your daughters
ask for your permission to marry your daughter. May I have your daughter's hand in marriage?" He stopped painting. Still didn't turn around. And he said, "Do you have a ring?" And I just told you the ring was in San Francisco being made. So I said, I didn't expect that one. I said, "No, sir, I don't have the ring with me right now." And he said, "Well, son, when you get the ring, come back and talk to me then." I said, "Wow." If ever I walked away with my tail between my legs, it was on that day. But I learned something that day that I'm going to pass down to my son and to every other man that I can talk to. Don't you go empty-handed before a father and asking his daughter's hand in marriage. You better bring the hardware with you. Now, the lesson I learned was, young man, if you're serious about marrying my daughter, let me see the hardware. Don't just tell me. There's not no promise ring. I want to see the hardware. Now, it was the hardware, but it was more than the hardware. It was about the seriousness of marriage. And I remember that day thanking God for my father-in-law. I've told my story many times. I didn't meet my real dad until I was about 21. And so some of these lessons I didn't learn from him. And really, by that time, I was kind of on my own trajectory of manhood. And so my father-in-law are friends. And whenever I'm in L.A., he'll come see me preach. And I'm going to call him later on today. But he missed the first 22 years of my life. And that's sad for both of us. And so my sermon today is really about fatherly advice. What does it mean to advise and pour into a young man, men? Now, this is a sermon that is directed to the men on Father's Day, but I certainly acknowledge that there are many women who are raising their sons and their daughters and their sons, and they're doing that as single moms. And I don't want to take anything away from you. I applaud you. I thank God for you. We lift up the Lord's blessings upon you. But I do believe that there's some things that can only come by way of lesson, by way of a man pouring into another young man. And so my prayer today is that for the countless thousands of young black boys, particularly 70% of black children are still born out of wedlock to this day. It's been that statistic over the last 40 plus years. I remember researching it when I was in college, when I was studying my undergraduate degree. It was 70 something percent. Today it is now 72%. It has not gone down. It has only gone up. And so it begs the question about family structure, about what young men see when they're growing up, and where do they learn the lessons of manhood if they indeed did not have a father in their lives, in their life. And so this Moses is a complex biblical character, because Moses, if you remember his story, was really what I call among, if not the first, the Bible's first foster children. Or foster child, because Moses was born and immediately had to be set sail down the River Nile because of the edict and the decree from Pharaoh to destroy all the Hebrew boys, because he knew that there was a challenge that was coming to his leadership. And so in order to deal, much like Herod wanted to kill Jesus, the first infanticide story in the Bible is not in Matthew and the Gospels. The first infanticide story, the killing of infants, the murder of infants, infanticide. The first story is really found in the book of Genesis and Exodus in the Pentateuch, when Moses nearly escaped with his life. Nearly escaped with his life. So his mama set him down the river Nile, and Pharaoh's daughter takes him out of the river. You know the story. And she is convinced to get a Hebrew woman to help suckle and nurse him. And so we thank God for divine intervention, because the very woman that gave her child up to God is able to now nurse her child and raise him in the court of Pharaoh. But still, he was not her child. He was Pharaoh's daughter's child. Pharaoh's adopted son. Or adopted grandson. And so the story, as Moses is raised, it is one of those interesting stories of how God's hand of provision and protection is on those whom God has it. And Moses grows up and he goes into, is sold into slavery. And we understand his journey is in Egypt, I should say. And in Egypt, he's raised as a biracial, bicultural child. And so all these interesting dynamics that we talk about in adoption today, about blacks and whites adopting race children from different races and so forth and so on, it is actually a story that is embedded in the Bible. And so Moses grows up understanding that he is Jewish by birth, but he is raised biculturally in the court of Pharaoh, so he is an Egyptian by upbringing. And he straddles both these worlds. And in straddling both these worlds, there's a sociologist that I remember studying when I was in college. His name is Victor Turner. And Victor Turner said, there is a word that he coined, I should say, called liminality. That Moses strands and straddles two races, two cultures, and some would even say two religions. And he is betwixt and between. He is living a liminal existence. You're betwixt and between. And so Moses grows, and to add to his complexity of his life, he then grows up and he marries a woman from Midian. And that's where her daddy comes in. Jethro. And in Exodus chapter 2, verse number 18, Jethro's name is called another name. And in Exodus 3:1, he is given even another reference. But it is in this 18th chapter of Exodus that we really see Jethro's persona on full display. And here is Moses, his son-in-law. And the fascinating thing is, imagine this. We don't talk a lot about Moses' family, but remember, Moses was married, and he had not one child, but he had two children by his wife Zipporah, and their story is told in the book of Exodus. And it is fascinating, because the question is, where is Moses' wife and his children while he is leading God's people from Egypt into the promised land? Well, there is reason to believe that they were stationed with daddy Jethro, either until Moses can get the people out of Egypt, or while he was organizing and coordinating God's people to get him ready to go to the land of Egypt, to the land of the promised land. And yet, what reason we don't fully understand, there's again ample evidence to read the text, but what we know is that when Moses gets to this point of his journey, they are not with him, and the Bible says that Jethro brings his daughter and his two grandsons, and they meet Moses on the journey. Now, it's fascinating as a pastor for me to think about this. Because there are moments when I'm away from my family doing what I believe is the Lord's work. And yet the question is, how do I ensure that my family is taken care of while I'm doing the Lord's work? Does the Lord's work stand in place of family, or does the family stand in place of the Lord's work? It is an interesting and fascinating question that only pastors who are leading God's people would really truly understand. And as much as I leaned on Fran Thomas, the deacon chair of our deacon's ministry, and leaned on George Poole when he was the chair, and leaned on Ollie Green when he was the chair, and I understand that I am requiring, God is requiring some sacrifice on their part away from their wives and their children and their grandchildren as they help me help God do what God has called me to do. Not only do I lean on the chairs of the deacons, I'm supposed to lean on the chairs of my trustees and the chairs of my deaconess and the chairs of my trustee aides and the chairs of leaders of ministry, so that we can all do this thing together. And that's the way God has purposed it to be. And so I'm fascinated when I read the story of Moses and Jethro, the father-in-law, and Moses, the son-in-law, but Moses, the great liberator, the great proclamator, the great one who is leading God's people. The Bible says in this verse 1 of chapter 18, that Jethro had heard about all the things that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. What an amazing statement. Because we have every reason to believe that Jethro was a priest in his own right. And we have every reason to believe that he did not believe in the God that his son-in-law believed in. But the statement is that the God of Moses had done a miracle in Moses' life. And that Jethro, his father-in-law, had heard about the miracle. And so the first statement implicitly to me is, do people hear about what God is doing in my life and the miracles that he is performing? And I've just stopped by on Father's Day to say to the men of our church, you don't have to talk about it, just be about it. And when you are about it, the people will hear that God can work miracles in your life. Moses was being true to his word, to his call, to his call upon his life, and God had done miracles. And I've learned in my 48 years of living now that God is still in the miracle working business. See, you have to understand what Jethro was saying. He said, how in the world did my son-in-law get out of Egypt? How in the world did Pharaoh let him go? How in the world did he get across the Red Sea? How in the world did manna fall from heaven? How in the world did water come out of a rock? How in the world did meat get flown on bird wings? How in the world? Does anybody see what Jethro saw? The impossible became possible. The improbable became probable. And I'll just stop by to say on Father's Day, brothers, there may seem to be some improbable situations in your life, but I need you to do what Moses did. Keep standing on the promises of Christ my Savior. And God will work a miracle in your situation. Jethro heard about the miracles. And the Bible says in verse 8 and 9 and 10, Jethro praised God. Am I the only one that's reading that right? In verse number 9, then Jethro rejoiced for all the good which the Lord had done for Israel. And verse number 10, and Jethro said, blessed be the Lord who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the other gods. I don't think there's any greater testimony, brothers, you can have than to help another man or another woman understand that God can straighten our crooked places. I don't think there's a greater testimony that you can have than to help another brother or another sister understand that God can smooth over rough places? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Now I'm not just talking to the men. I'm talking to anybody up in here that has that God has ever done a miracle for up in your life. The greatest testimony you can have is to let another man and to let another woman understand that God is in the miracle working business. Let me tell you what God did for me. Let me testify about the goodness of the Lord. Let me help you understand that God picked me up, turned me around, put my feet on solid ground. Let me help you understand that God can work it out. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Jethro said, blessed be your God. No other greater testimony can you do as a man or woman of God than to help another man or woman of God see and understand what God can do. The Bible goes on to say, not only does Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, can I just say it again? I'm not talking about his daddy. We would almost expect this to come from his daddy. But this is his daddy-in-law. And some of y'all call in-laws outlaws. Now I'm grateful I didn't have no outlaws, Deacon Grady. I had some good in-laws. And I didn't have them a long time in my life. I was looking forward to having Mom Pinckney and Dad Pinckney. Lorene knew them well. And so it is. We don't understand what God does, when God does it, and how God does it. But I just stopped by to tell a few brothers who may not have had daddy in your life that God can raise up another man who can be like a father figure into you when you're going through your situations. I don't know about you, but I didn't have daddy, my biological daddy, for the first 22 years. I had not even contemplated having a father-in-law for those same first 22 years. But I'm thank God today that God raised up some godly men to help pour into this young man. I wouldn't be who I am if I didn't have a Reverend Dr. Thomas J. Cooper who poured into me. I wouldn't be who I am if I didn't have a Reverend Floyd Tompkins who poured into me. I wouldn't be who I am if I didn't have some deacons and some ushers who I saw in the church, some youth leaders who poured into me. And I just stopped by to say to the brothers, don't ever underestimate the power that you can have on a young boy and a young girl's life. I know you may have your own, but seek out one or two more who you can pour into whom you can invest some talent, into whom you can invest some godly deposits. Pour into another young man and another young girl who needs to understand that a man can love her and not want anything from her. Pour into another young man so he understands that making babies don't make him a man. Taking care of babies, what makes you a man? Pour into them. Pour into them. Moses' father-in-law Jethro poured into him. And it just didn't start in Exodus 18. And now we get to this quintessential moment in Moses' ministry. Moses has led God's people Now, he didn't do it by himself. I pray that every Moses has an Aaron and a Hur. I pray that every Aaron and Hur got Moses' back. I pray that every Moses has a Miriam, a sister. In this case, it was his real sister who is by his side. I look today and I thank God for sending me some Miriams and some Moses, some Hurs and some Aarons. I look at Mother Reverend Nelson. Stand up, Mother. I thank God for you because you are one of those saintly mothers who know how to get a prayer up and a prayer through. And she said, don't y'all mess with my son. I didn't give birth to him, but I felt like he's mine. I said, yes, I am, ma'am. I'm yours. Pray for me. Lift me up. Cover me in prayer. Saturate me in prayer. Every Moses needs a Miriam. Every Moses needs a Hur. Every Moses needs an Aaron who can stand by his, and I would even say her side. Hear me. Moses didn't do this by himself, but on this day, he's sitting judging the people. And all these people coming before. Jethro pops up again, says, son-in-law, what in the world are you doing? You're going to kill yourself, and you're going to kill these people. Get some help. Get some trusted people who you can give thousands of these people to. And somebody else who you can give hundreds of these people to. Others give 10. Others you might just give 1. But they're to help you, but they just can't be anybody. Full of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, full of spirit, full of wisdom. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 18, verse number 21, select able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place them over these people. And the small things they judge and the big things they bring to you. Here's the point. Moses listened to his daddy, his father-in-law, and he appointed people over the people. That's the way church is supposed to operate. And it wasn't even church in that day. It was the temple. It was the tabernacle. It was the Jews. It wasn't even the people of Christ. And yet we are Judeo-Christians. Because the model of our religion and spirituality is based upon what Moses wrote in the Torah, what God inspired him to write, and what we inherit to this day. So the Bible says that Moses heeded his father-in-law and placed the people over them. And here's the point I want to leave you with. The Bible says, verse number 23, if you do this, all this people will go to their place in peace, and you, Moses, will endure. And the Bible says, verse 26, so they judged the people at all times. The hard cases they brought to Moses, but they judged every small case themselves. Then Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way to his own land. Moses was able to endure. The people had shalom, peace. At the end of the day, God wants peace in his house. Can I say that again? If you're a father, you've got to bring peace into your house. Things may be acrimonious, things may be a little chaotic every now and again, but the role of a father is to bring peace into his house. And you've got to set the example for that peace. we don't hear any more from Jethro in the text. The Bible says, so Jethro went to his own land, Midian. But what we do understand is that Jethro was profoundly impacted by what he saw God do for, to, and through Moses. And I just stopped by to say to another brother and to all of us in here, we may never know the outcome of our deposit into somebody, but it does not mean that you don't deposit into that somebody. Because I believe that what God later told Paul, I plant, others water, but God gives the increase. If you believe in the God of heaven and earth, you've got to believe that if you just do your little part, God will do the rest, because God is God all by Godself, and God's going to get the glory out of the situation. All you do is just plant some seeds. Just go out there and plant some seeds. Just go ahead and touch a little boy's head and say, God bless you. Go ahead and deposit and watch the God of God of heaven and earth do what only God can do. Because sooner rather than later, God is going to get the glory. I don't know about you, but God is going to get the glory. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what it sounds like. God is going to get the glory. Hallelujah, somebody. Because God is God, all by God's self. Jethro planted into Moses, Moses planted into Jethro, and at the end of the day, I believe God got the glory. And it is my prayer today, beloved, male or female, that we would go about doing our work, that if nobody ever says anything to you, that you know God is going to get the glory. And if God gets the glory, you're going to get some glory. You may not get it from people down here, but one day you're going to hear God say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I don't know about you. That's why I preach. That's why I study. That's why I exegete. To hear God say, well done, my good and my faithful servant. In Jesus' name. Somebody say, thank God for fatherly advice. And I'm going to say motherly advice in Jesus' name and to God's glory. Let the church say amen. Give the Lord a praise offering. Give the Lord a praise offering. Give the Lord a praise offering. Everybody standing to their feet. Everybody standing to their feet. We want to deploy the deacons and deaconess and clergy to help me extend the invitation into Christian discipleship. Anybody here today want to trust God with your situation? I want to invite you to come forward and give God your, give us your hand and give God your heart. Before I do that, I want to just pray for us today. I want you to just pray with me. Father, I thank you today for giving us this blessed opportunity to come today to hear your word. We ask that you would bless your people today, that you will continue to stir them up, that we may hear the wise words of those you sent to us. Thank you for Jethro, for he blessed Moses. Thank you for Moses, for he blessed your people. Thank you for your people, because they leave us an example of how to be your people. What to do and what not to do, oh God.
So today I pray that we would hear you clearly, that when we trust you and hear, obey your word, that it will be good for us and a blessing to somebody else. Lord, this is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray it. Save somebody. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. Anyone here today, we want to invite you to come forward and give us your hand and give God your heart. Don't know who you are, don't know your name, your situation, but I can tell you this, God is able. God wants to do a miracle in your life. If you're here today, I want you to come on down and give us your hand and give God your heart. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead and sing it loud, gentlemen.